DW Deutsche Welle. Living Planet.
And that's it to Charmy. Who could be one of the...
Hello, I'm Irene Quayle. Good to have you with us.
Try and use his divine inspiration. They'll try and get a second and an opportunity for them, and they get one back right at the start of the second half. Would you believe it? What an inspirational figure this man is.
The African football star who's now scoring for the environment. While in Europe, a former industrial city has scored top marks for cleaning up its act to become Europe's green capital.
Das war grau in grau. Hier konntest du...
Everything used to be grey. You always had to check what way the wind was blowing before you hung the washing out. Otherwise, the whites would end up grey or yellow because of the air pollution.
Meanwhile, in Brazil...
Brigamos, passeamos, fazemos tudo.
The heroes who gave these kids a green oasis in a favela that once suffocated in stinking rubbish... And in Italy...
They keep all the wild herbs for the bees, because the bees are a big... important part of the orchard, of course.
This champion looks after ancient varieties of fruit, and it's not just the bees who benefit. Coming up on Living Planet. As in so many parts of the world, plastic waste is a growing problem in the African country of Cameroon. Waterways and drains are frequently clogged with plastic bottles and other packaging, leading to frequent flooding. The situation became so serious that the government banned disposable plastic bags in 2014 and has been encouraging businesses to adopt alternative packaging. Now, Cameroon football legend Albert Roger Miller has come up with another innovative way to tackle the plastic problem. What about turning used plastic into tiles and paving stones? Ngala Kilian Chimtom reports from Yaoundé.
That's it to Charmy. He could be one of the substitutions. I've got a feeling they'll throw on Miller. At some stage, they'll try and use his divine inspiration. They'll try and get a second and an opportunity for them, and they get one back right at the start of the second half. Would you believe it? What an inspirational figure this man is!
Cameroon's football legend, Albert Roger Miller, is better known for his tantalising dribbles on the football pitch. His fame peaked in 1990 when he single-handedly took Cameroon to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And he achieved the feat of being the world's oldest player to score in a World Cup competition in 1994. He was then 42. For his exploits on the field, Miller was named Africa's Player of the Last 50 Years by the Confederation of African Football. Now out of the game, Miller has started scoring again, this time on the environmental front. Casting an admiring look at the premises of the Cameroon Handball Federation that is now covered with tiles churned out of his factory, Miller notes that his project to turn plastic waste into tiles is paying off.
The tiles you see here are made by the foundation. Nobody does it here. I really think this is a very important project.
The project, called Waste to Wealth, began in 2014 and is funded by the Miller's Foundation, Care d'Afrique, which translates to the heart of Africa. Standing in the Yaoundé factory where the plastics are being transformed, Miller points to a pile of cobblestones that have just been made, saying it's a project that not only protects the environment, but also creates jobs.
We're looking for enough money. People who look for money do not sleep.
The Waste to Wealth project employs some 2,500 people, mostly youth, in the cities of Yaoundé and Douala, to collect and sort plastic waste, the raw materials for his modern alchemy. And the technology is pretty simple. Pancras Fegu, the managing director of Waste to Wealth and executive secretary of Care d'Afrique, explains.
After the collect,
when all the recovered waste is taken to the warehouse, we sort through the waste because not all plastics are suitable. Once the unusable plastic has been sorted out, the usable plastic is then put into large containers over wood fire to melt. Sand is then added to the molten plastics and the hot mixture is poured into molds. In 15 minutes, the product sets and the cobblestones are ready to use.
15 minutes.
Fergus says the plastic acts as a binder that holds the sands together, making the product environmentally friendly.
On appelle pavé écologique. C'est ça la première différence.
We call them ecological slabs, and that is the first difference with the usual sand and cement tiles. The second difference is that plastic is impermeable to water, so therefore these slabs too are impermeable to water, whereas slabs made with concrete are permeable to water.
Avec du béton, vous savez que le béton est attaquable à l'eau.
He says the cobblestones are suitable for use even in marshy areas and points to the headquarters of the Cameroon Handball Federation as an example.
If you go to the premises of the Cameroon Handball Federation headquarters, you will discover that the esplanade is covered with these ecological slabs. There is massive demand for it, but we are still going through the quality control process with the National Civil Engineering Laboratory. But I can already tell you that in the very near future, you will see the roads to Abega Stadium covered with ecological slabs.
The initiative has been applauded by government and international environmental organizations, not only because it unclogs waterways and keeps the streets clean, but also because it turns a waste item into a valuable resource. Jean-Marc Sinasami is an environmental expert at the Global Environment Facility, an environmental fund which helps cover the project costs. Sinasami says environmentally friendly recycling waste could leave the world a much better place.
When there are waste we can recycle, it's becoming a source of richness. I mean, if you can recycle some waste in buildings, in habitat, in constructions, of course it will be much better.
In Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé, locals scan the Mfundi riverbed, collecting bottles that have clogged the river in the Mvan neighborhood. For many people here, Mila's initiative is a welcome relief to the long-standing waste problem. 49-year-old Aaron Carr has lived with the ugly reality of plastic litter for over 10 years. Now he is hopeful that might finally change.
These bottles have actually littered my community. You can look around. You see streams have been blocked. You see there's a lot of pollution. And you find that generally it's just making the city untidy. So this initiative which Roger Miller is trying to build in this country is a wonderful one, especially for my community. And I think it's a wonderful initiative that needs to be encouraged.
For football legend Albert Roger Miller, investing in projects like this one, he hopes, will not only help protect the environment, but also create much-needed jobs for many jobless Cameroonians. Gala Kilian Chimtom, DW, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Well, Roger Miller has done it again here, and the whole complexion of the match has changed.
Well, you need visionaries to make the world greener, and some of them have been hard at work in the city of Essen, in the heartland of Germany's Ruhr area. It was once the country's industrial hub, but since the decline of coal mining, the whole region has been working to reinvent itself as a centre of culture and environmental activity. And its efforts are paying off. Essen has been designated European Green Capital for 2017. Sonia Dean has the story.
Stepping onto the platform at Essen's central station on a clear winter morning, the first thing that catches the eye is a giant billboard proclaiming this the shopping city. An interesting first impression for Europe's new green capital. At the headquarters of the local project team for Essen, the European Green Capital of 2017, team leader Ralph Kindle explains that the city of nearly 600,000 people in the heart of the Ruhr metropolis of some 5 million has a history of transformation. Once a rural region, the discovery of coal heralded its industrialization. There was the dark chapter of weapons manufacture under the Third Reich, then subsequent rebirth as an industrial hub of the Wirtschaftswunder, or economic miracle, as Germany rebuilt after World War II. But with the decline of the local steel and coal industries in the later 20th century, it faced another structural change. From green to gray to green again is how Kindle describes it.
The Ruhr region is no stranger to change. We have constantly faced new challenges, and we've always adjusted to them. The region is in constant flux. Now we have entered the post-industrial era, we have become a service economy. Environmental issues have become very important and are a key to success in the challenging times we live in.
Herausforderungen dieser Zeit zu stellen.
He says the groundwork for a green city was laid in the 1920s by a visionary planner named Robert Schmidt. As the population exploded with industrialization, Schmidt realized workers need green spaces to recuperate. Several parks were created at that time. And although priorities changed for some decades, green thinking more recently has led to the establishment of new parks. By 2020, Kindle says, the people of Essen will need to travel only 500 meters or a third of a mile to access a network of green spaces.
Diese Geschichte, diese Wandlungsfähigkeit.
This ability to transform makes Essen so exciting, and it also makes it a good model for other European cities, because we are mastering a lot of problems that other regions in Europe will come up against in the future.
Europa erst noch kriegen werden.
The European Commission awards the annual title of European Green Capital to promote and reward cities' efforts to be greener. An expert panel and jury weigh up how well applicant cities are doing in specific fields, including climate change, adaptation and mitigation, local transport, air quality, and wastewater management. Winners are announced 18 months in advance. When Essen was made title holder for 2017, the judges praised its admirable efforts to overcome its challenging industrial past and reinvent itself as a green city. More than 200 community projects are in the works, Kindle says, which illustrate how the city wants to use this year's special status to change people's outdated concept of Essen as a city of coal, steel, and smokestacks.
Dass wir ein Hotspot.
Essen is actually a hotspot when it comes to a green environment. That's the reality, and that's what we want to showcase.
Wir wollen die Realität darstellen.
The staff here seem to walk the talk, or pedal it to be precise. There's a bike at reception. Christina Wyman from the project team says it's used to run errands. But she's going to need more than two wheels to give a whistle-stop tour of Essen's green attractions. The tour is done in her car, a fuel-efficient two-seater. Our first destination is Krupp Park, named after Friedrich Krupp, founder of what became ThyssenKrupp, the multinational steel company which has its headquarters in Essen. Wyman says it's an example of the city's successful structural change and adaptation to climate change through sustainable architecture, landscaping, and water management. A lake is filled by rainwater from the roof of the steel giant's headquarters and from surrounding parkland. Traffic jams are still a problem in Essen, but Essen is trying to encourage people to cycle more. The cities of the Ruhr are linked together by a kind of bicycle autobahn.
So this is the
grünste Straße von Essen.
Grünste Straße von Essen. Schurweg. Schurweg.
In 15 minutes, we reach what Wyman tells me is Essen's greenest street, Schurweg. What makes it green is that it's home to farmers who are working alongside community gardeners and small growers to promote regional produce, one of the goals of Essen's Green Capital campaign. The idea is that eating from close to home cuts down on transport emissions and increases awareness about where food comes from. Nicolas Weber's family has been farming in this area for longer than he can remember. Today, they grow a wide variety of fruits, vegetables, and grains, as well as raising animals. They sell the produce on site and also rent out fields for other growers.
Die Nachhaltigkeit in der Landwirtschaft wird dadurch geschaffen.
What we do is sustainable because we've been passing the farm from one generation to the next. Each generation does its best to make it healthier, stronger, and bigger for the next. For me, that's the best possible example of sustainability.
Nachhaltiges Denken und nachhaltiges Wirken und Schaffen.
Perhaps one of the most spectacular results of Essen's transformation is the fact that from May, people will once again be able to swim in the Ruhr River for the first time in generations. The Baldeneysee, a lake on the river, will be certified as a safe bathing spot in line with EU standards. Kindle says the Ruhr was once one of the dirtiest industrial rivers in Europe, closed to swimmers since the early 1960s.
Das zeigt, wir sind kein Marketing-Gag.
It shows that this is not all a marketing gag. We are harvesting the results of all the work people have put in over the past few decades, and we're proud of that.
Angegangen sind, und das macht uns stolz.
Friends Stefan Booms, 25, and Simon Weber, 26, are enthusiastic about the city's new claim to fame and look forward to swimming in the Ruhr.
We've been in a canoe club for some month and we've been in the river that time, but it's great to be allowed to swim everywhere again.
I think we will try it.
The final stop is the Zeche Zollverein. It's a former coal mine which has been a UNESCO World Heritage Site since 2001. No other place symbolizes Essen's transformation quite like this one. It's home to a museum and cultural centers, as well as plant species from around the world, which thrive amidst the concrete, brick, and steel structures. Kindle is looking forward to an international congress this year, when researchers will catalog the site's biodiversity. Heinz Spahn has witnessed these changes more closely than most. Born in 1940, he worked at the Zollverein until its closing day in 1986. He now works as a guide there, but he recalls the days when the air smelled like rotten eggs due to sulfur emissions.
Das war grau in grau. Hier konnte es früher.
Everything used to be gray. You always had to check what way the wind was blowing before you hung the washing out. Otherwise, the whites would end up gray or yellow because of the air pollution.
Hast die bunte Wäsche ausgehangen. Das war wirklich so gewesen.
Spahn is glad that Essen is now a green capital. He hopes the new title will bring more business and tourism. He does prefer the peace and quiet of nature to the hustle and bustle of the city, but these days he says he's proud to be an Essener.
Sonia Dean presented that story, Fired for Living Planet, by Samantha Early. Brazilian megacity Rio de Janeiro is still a long way from becoming a green capital. Pollution is a huge problem, and getting rid of waste of all sorts is a big part of that. But in Rio too, there are dedicated residents making a big difference to their part of the world. 10 years ago, a group of neighbours in Vidigal, a hilltop favela, got fed up with mounds of stinking rubbish and started a clean-up operation. They've managed to bring about quite a transformation, and there's more to come. Here's Hilke Fischer.
It's a steep hike up the winding path to Vidigal, a favela neighborhood in the hills outside Rio de Janeiro. Thousands of people live here in a labyrinth of concrete and brick houses with a fantastic view down to the famous Ipanema beach. You hardly notice the stairs at first. They are made from old car tires, but filled with dirt and rubble, climbing alongside an open drain pipe into the bushland. Then, all of a sudden, you find yourself facing an enchanting little gate made of bamboo. It's the entrance to a tropical oasis in the middle of the favela. There are palm trees of all sizes, bushes in bloom, vines, hidden pathways and terraces with herbs and vegetable gardens.
Aqui temos frutas, ó. Aquilo ali é a fruta, manga, abacate também ali, ali tomate.
Mangoes, pineapples, bananas, beans, tomatoes, cabbage. Mauro Quintanilla, a musician, checks on his crops. This hidden garden used to look very different, he says. It used to be a huge dump filled with trash.
When I was little, this was like an enchanted forest. But then the community grew bigger and bigger, and there was so much rubbish here that I almost decided to move away. But I told myself, no, we have to do something about it. I started collecting the trash with my friends. But at night, the local residents just dumped their garbage again.
Undeterred, Mauro and his friends began planting beetroot on the site and gave away their harvest to people living nearby. And suddenly, people stopped dumping their trash on the site. Yuri and his gang have made sure it stays that way.
Brincamos, passeamos, fazemos tudo. Molhamos a planta.
This is our park, according to the pack of 10-year-olds. We play here, we water the plants and we feed the monkeys. But then, with a serious look, Yuri says, no trash allowed here, we recycle. The garden, now known as the Sitchia Park, has turned into a meeting place for the community. And here's where architect Pedro Enrico de Cristo comes into play. He met Mauro at the UN Conference on Sustainable Development in Rio in 2012. Soon after, the two men founded the Instituto Sitchia. Along with local residents and private investors, the institute aims to boost the development of the entire area.
Qual é o grande desafio do Vidigal hoje?
Today, Vidigal is facing a major challenge, gentrification. Many people, foreigners in particular, are moving here because the neighborhood has become much safer. The location is great and the prices are affordable. Integration is working well, but long-term residents should also profit. We're pushing for everyone here to finally get a property deed for their own plot of land. That would help residents to feel more responsible for their property. We also want to create more collective and sustainable public spaces in Vidigal.
They've already made progress on that last goal. With the assistance of a local architecture contest, Pedro has developed a combined stairway-cum-public square project in conjunction with local residents. The plan is to transform an overgrown, trash-strewn pathway leading up to the top of the favela into a wide flight of steps with several open public squares at different levels. And the stairway won't just give the area a facelift. Jan Soares is a student from Vidigal who helped with the planning. Under the stairs, he explains, a series of reservoirs will collect water, filter it and pump it back up the hill.
Every summer, when consumption goes up and water is in short supply, the ancient public water pumps break down. Every summer. And those people who don't have their own cistern have to drag heavy canisters of water up the hill. Our stairway won't just make Vidigal more beautiful, it will also solve one of our community's most pressing problems.
The project has already come a long way. Mauro, Jan and Pedro have every reason to be proud as we look down from the viewing platform of Sitchia Park onto a thriving settlement transformed from a hillside strewn with stinking garbage.
Hilke Fischer presented that report filed by German correspondent in Rio, Anne Herberg.
Voltei pra falar das favelas que eu não falei. Hoje provo e comprovo que não esqueci de vocês.
Voltei pra falar das favelas que eu não falei.
Falei.
Hoje provo e comprovo que não esqueci de vocês.
Certo. Povo do juramento, Jorge Turco, Babilônia, Deus. Cabrito, Fubá, Morra, Gude, Cidade de Deus. Lagartixa, Coroa, Formiga e Laborio. Favela do Acari, Timóteo da Costa e o Morro do Amor. A querida Cruzada São Sebastião. Antiga Praia do Pinto que deu a Tilha um grande campeão de novo pra mim.
And the last goal in this week's Living Planet Environment Tournament is scored by a 60-year-old woman in Italy. The country is famed for its cuisine, but over the last century or so, the variety of produce has shrunk. Some regional and local fruits and vegetables have all but vanished. But some determined agricultural custodians are struggling to keep varieties from the past alive and make sure there's a wide diversity of fruit to complement the pizza and the pasta. Megan Williams has this report from Umbria.
A feisty chicken is the first to greet me on this luscious hilltop in Umbria. Orchards with trees, heavy with ripe pears and apples, stretch out in all directions. Then the woman who tends them suddenly appears.
Buongiorno. Tanto piacere, sono Isabella.
Agronomist Isabella Della Torre has been caring for her orchard of fruit trees for decades. They're not the run-of-the-mill varieties, but fruit that has grown on these hills in central Italy for centuries.
Also because I keep all the wild herbs for the bees, because the bees are a big important part of the orchard, of course.
Like her father before her, Isabella has spent much of her 60 years finding and growing fruit trees that no longer appeal to modern tastes and requirements and are in danger of disappearing. Umbria, the green heart of Italy, has such a rich variety of fruit to preserve. That's because so many people have passed through here over the centuries.
Crossroads of many, many pilgrims, shepherds.
With them, they brought seeds from their own lands.
All these passages. Mm-hmm. So for that, it's so rich on biodiversity. Because many, many people, many varieties.
Apples, pears, peaches, quinces, figs, and cherries. It's a kind of Noah's Ark of fruit, with three trees for each 150 varieties. Isabella calls caring for her collection arboreal archaeology and has a special place to house her specimens.
This is a church, a very old Romanic church, where we store our precious fruits.
Spread along a long central table are dozens of woven baskets, spilling over with a bounty of small fruit that dates back to the 1500s.
These are old varieties, maybe strange colors, strange shapes, but very strong taste. And also different tastes.
They have names like muso di bue, ox snout, or culo d'asino, donkey's behind.
This is an apple, but it's sort of oblong, or is that a pear? It's hard to tell.
No, it's an apple with the pear shape.
She says each fruit reflects a world of how people once lived, their needs and their tastes.
In Italian, we have cultura and cultura. Definitely is the same roots of the words.
Cultivate and culture.
Culture.
Isabella, like other custodians, they give us the treasure contained in the heritage.
In Rome, at the headquarters of the Food and Agricultural Organization, plant genetic resource expert Mario Marino says with rapidly changing climate, Isabella's work is valuable for another reason.
But also the genes conserved inside the plants. The possibility for researchers, farmers or single farmers to rely on a potential seed or part of the trees is the most important added value Isabella is preserving.
Back at her orchard, Isabella sells small trees to maintain her arboreal archaeology. But she says she has to educate people who often come looking for something exotic.
I'm not an album of curiosities. The important thing is not an old thing. The focus is to save our culture, to save the connection.
Megan Williams, DW Radio, Umbria.
And that's it from Living Planet for this week. You can listen to the programme again or to individual stories online at dw.com/environment. That's dw.com/environment. You can also catch up on some other environment news there. You can also listen to our stories on iTunes and on SoundCloud. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments. You can send them to us either by email to livingplanet, that's livingplanet, one word, at dw.com, or via Twitter to DW_environment. You can also find DW Environment on Facebook. I'm Irene Quayle, producing with me in the studio here in Bonn were Ileana Ghiaducci and Christoph Grove. Until next time, thanks for listening and bye for now.